Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, yeah.
There's those big grains falling.
Just hosing up some heat culture on this Friday, Leroy. They made the Celtics fight each other after the game. Marcus Smart screaming and hollering. My favorite was Enes Kanter after the game, where Enes Kanter's like, these are all BS rumors. I'm like, they're not rumors, dude. You did it with people outside the hallway. Screaming and hollering. My favorite was Enes Kanter after the game, where Enes Kanter's like, these are all BS rumors. I'm like, they're not rumors, dude. You did it with people outside the hallway. Walls of paper. Not true. We love each other. Yeah, all right. You can love each other. I love people. I love my family, too. Sometimes I'm mad at them. Marcus Smart is pissed because he tried all his trickery yesterday, you know, trying to sweep the leg on Bam. All these moves that he was pulling, Tice kicking him while he's down. And what do you have? You have Goran Dragic, chiclets on the floor. You try all your dirty moves, Boston, and where do you find yourselves? You find yourselves down 2-0. Let's get the headlines, Robbie.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Which is brought to you by the Orion Fuels Downstairs Convenience Stores, truly steps beyond convenient. So, gentlemen, I think once 5-10 rolls around today, like I think it's just going to be nonstop action, no pants, because 5-10, you got Anoche the sixth, though. He's on the mound tonight for the Marlins.
Oh!
And the first game of a doubleheader against the Washington Nationals. So you got two Marlins games today. You got Lakers and Nuggets. Western Conference Finals start tonight. Then tomorrow, you got college football all day. And then you got the conflict of doom at nighttime. You got the Canes and Louisville. And then you got the Heat and Celtics game. Three, and then that takes you up. And then Sunday, you got football. Like it doesn't stop. There's no break.
Don't forget about the nightcap, a little great UFC card action.
Oh,
too.
That's right. Colby Covington.
Colby Covington, Tyron Woodley.
Does nobody like Colby Covington?
Oh, people hate his guts now.
Okay. But it's a gimmick. Like it's like we know. Like the guys have told us that he's like an.
I mean,
a nice
we've
guy.
Had him on, right?
Yeah,
we've talked to him. He wasn't at the Hard Rock all the time.
He wasn't a nice guy when he was on.
I'm gonna tell you the honest truth that people hate this. Like he's kind of a sweetheart. That's what he wants. He wants to be hated, so he throws on the MAGA hat. He, you know, he gets people to boo him. He makes terrible jokes. He makes
spoils movies,
but. I mean, when we've had him, I've probably interviewed Colby. We've interviewed him, twice on the show.
Yeah,
and once I've gone to the gym and interviewed him. What a sweetheart!
And the cursing, you know.
And the cursing. Tyron Woodley's a good guy on the show too, though. I like Tyron Woodley.
Oh, and Leroy, I forgot to mention the U.S. Open is also this weekend too. It's like 8 screens.
I'm watching it right now, boys.
It's packed, dude. It's packed.
I'm watching it right now.
Peacock.
Yep.
Peacock.
It's free, man. It's actually pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah. It's basically you get to, you know, do was it NBC?
That's pretty cool.
Online.
I wonder if you're able to actually watch everything, unlike with this Inter Miami where I can't watch bleep.
I don't know. It just puts the stuff up. You can put browse, you can go through shows, but I don't know if it's live or, you know what I mean? I know the U.S. Open is live.
It's funny, man. Hey, by the way, if you guys want to make some money this weekend, you guys can go to radio.com/pick'em for the Rocket Mortgage Pick'em Challenge. And you make your picks there. You get to pick against the hosts of radio.com. I was terrible last week.
I wasn't invited to this.
it was one of those things though. I wouldn't say invited. I was kind of like, please do it. You know, that's more like what that was.
I mean, look, I like talking trash with the best of them.
You want to?
But I can't talk trash if I'm not partaking in any of the activities.
You can take my place if you want to.
No. You already sucked it up. I'm not going to get out of here.
Either way, go to radio.com/pick'em. You guys make your money. $1,000 a week, $10,000 at the end of the season. And that is the Rocket Mortgage Radio.com Pick'em Challenge. Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. We will talk to Chris Perkins for another week. Perk, what's going on, man?
Hey, fellas, you know what? I was just talking to Robbie about how much sports we have, man. I'm about to watch U.S. Open right now. We got UM in Louisville over the weekend, the Dolphins in Buffalo. The Heat is up 2-0. The Marlins are making a push, man. It's great, huh?
It's great.
I'm already watching the U.S. Open. Where you been?
What channel are you watching it on? It comes on the Golf Channel at 9:30. It's online. You're streaming it.
He's got
Peacock.
Peacock app.
Okay, yeah. I'm sitting here working, man. I'm doing UM Louisville stuff.
So am I. I'm responding to texts, following my tweets,
you are working,
talking
right?
to you, watching a little U.S. Open.
Did you
nice. Multitask? I like it.
Perk, did you get to watch any of the Heat yesterday? Did you get to in the midst of prepping for the Canes game?
Oh yeah. No, I mean, look, the Heat, man. They just look like the better team. I actually picked the Heat in seven. I thought this was going to be a long series. I'm going to stick to that. But, man, Boston, I see why. It was Marcus Smart that went off in the locker room, right? I see why he went off. Those dudes are showing nothing, man. So far, it's early, but so far they've showed me nothing.
Perk, it looks like Boston is the young team with no experience, doesn't it?
Right, exactly. Yeah,
that's what young teams do.
None of those dudes are making plays, man. I mean – Marcus Smart has kind of disappeared as far as Kemba Walker rather as far as making big plays and just for all that young talent they have they're maybe just a step above Philadelphia as far as wasting the young talent and Tobin, I don't want to get you started on Brad Stevens but. What has he done? I mean, what adjustments has he made? This team, they're trending toward huge disappointment for this whole era of Tatum and Brad Stevens and Jaylen Brown because they just haven't done anything yet. They've got big expectations.
You know, Riley's got to love that too. Looking across at Danny Ainge in the arena, he's gonna be like, "Yeah,
Perk." You know me. I always like to put it on the players, but. This is one of the first times where I have left a game from watching a game and said, Eric's supposed to outcoach Brad Stevens.
Yeah, I just don't see, I don't know what else Brad Stevens can do strategically, what kind of matchups or how, if they can defend the pick and roll different or whatever. But you've got so much talent. You were the more talented team and, this is an era for this group of players. They've got to define themselves. They've got to at least get to the finals. I know you ran into LeBron, 2 years ago, right? They lost to seven to LeBron, I believe. But whatever it is, this is a team that you've got high expectations. You've got a lot of talent. You've got to find a way. You know, if you go down to the Heat this year to a quote-unquote underdog Heat team, it is not going to bode well for this era of Celtic basketball.
Well, speaking of eras, the Canes, they started off 1-0, beat UAB yesterday. It covered. Robbie was happy about the cover. biggest takeaway from last week's game, Perk?
You know what? This is kind of boring, but I thought the mentality of the Canes was good because, they were down 7-0 after losing that fumble punt. They were only up 14-7 at halftime. And, yeah, they were the more experienced and more talented team, but we had just seen them lose to FIU, Duke, and La Tech, right, where you could argue, again, they were the more experienced, more talented team. They kept it together. And so we'll see what happens this week against Louisville. Can they handle adversity? Can they handle prosperity? It's on the road. It's against another – ranked opponent, whatever you want to say. That's going to end when the Big Ten comes back. But against a equal or more talented opponent, and let's see what they can do. And I'll tell you this, you know, we know that UM has been in that in a slump since they beat Notre Dame, right, in 2017. They are, since that game, UM is 15-16 overall and 9-10 in the ACC. So you win now, you get to 500 since that Notre Dame game, which kind of shows you how disastrous they've been since then. But they, right, they've got to turn the trend since that Notre Dame game, and you get to 500 now, and we know who they have coming up in these next three. You can start heading forward finally.
Were you impressed with De'Aaron King's debut? What did you make of his first game in the?
Tobin, I actually was until Rhett Lashley and Manny Diaz started talking about how many open throws he missed, and Rhett Lashley said both of the sacks were De'Aaron King's fault, and I was looking at De'Aaron King and I was like, all right, I thought he made some good decisions. You know, I thought he ran, to escape pressure, not running to run, but. Both De'Aaron and Rhett Lashley said he could have stayed in the pocket a little bit more. So, look, I liked what I saw of him, but, you know, maybe that's just them and their expectations, you know, the inward view being a little more critical. But, I De'Aaron, look, he's not a guy who's going to complete 68% of his passes, right? He's a good quarterback. I don't know if his passing skills are NFL level, but he's a leader as well as a quarterback. And I thought, you know, you talk about the mentality of the Canes and staying calm. I thought De'Aaron King probably had a lot to do with that. And so I thought that he was good, but Rhett Lashley and De'Aaron King were not as impressed with King's performance as I was.
I think it was just nice to have somebody that you felt was, like, competent leading the team, at least, you know. But I get it. Like, they're going to – you know, they hold it to a high standard. It's first game, and they're taking on UAB. What about Cameron Harris's? Were there reviews of him, because he looked like a beast out there. Looked like they couldn't touch him.
Yeah. No, and you know what I kind of liked about Cameron was, you know, they talked about the young running backs during the fall, Jalen Knighton and Donald Chaney Jr. trying to house everything because they had a good showing in the first scrimmage. And so in the second scrimmage, they tried to house everything. You didn't see that from Cameron Harris, and you wouldn't expect it because he's a junior. He's more experienced. But I thought he did a good job of both showing patience and taking what's there. And that's kind of what this running game is going to need. You know, it would have been easy for him after he had that 66-yard touchdown run to think, oh, this is UAB. I'm going to house everything. But we didn't see that from him. He remained patient. He took what was there. And I think that bodes real well when you're going up against a Louisville team that is able to score and put a lot of pressure on you. It's good to have a running back who can kind of keep that mentality, right? Of, I'm not going to try to house this. I'm going to get my 3 or 4 yards and put us in a good second down or third down situation. So I like both Cameron's skills and his mentality.
The thing about so going into this week with what you've done, like, you know, looking into what this matchup is, you know, you talk about, you know, the facing the adversity that Louisville could bring to the Canes. Is there anything in particular that's really stood out with you about where the Canes made trouble or shine going into this week against Louisville? Just something that's popped out with these two teams matching up.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. What I really like for UM is the pass rush matchup. When you look at Quincy Roche and Jalen Phillips at defensive ends, you guys know Roche, the senior transfer from Temple. He got AAC Defensive Player of the Year last year, 13 sacks. He's projected as a second or third round NFL prospect. And then Jalen Phillips on the other side, the transfer from UCLA, he was the nation's number one recruit in 2017. Both of them in their first year with UM, they did some pretty good things against UAB. The sack totals weren't there. But, you know, as UM told you and as you saw, UAB was throwing the ball quickly. Now, the thing that I don't like is the same matchup, and it's Louisville's passing game against UM's pass defense. Although I think Roche and Phillips can create problems, look, we know Tutu Atwell, right? Louisville's slot receiver. He's from Miami Northwestern. 1,300 receiving yards last year, first-team All-ACC. He's going to cause problems. The two guys on the outside, Dez Fitzpatrick and Braden Smith, those receivers, they had receptions of 70 and 63 yards. The quarterback, Mikael Cunningham, he's an experienced quarterback. So you know, Blake Baker, the UM's defensive coordinator, he said their cornerbacks were average last week. And so now you put in the Louisville passing game. So that's what I'm looking at, Tobin. If Louisville can be effective in the passing game and make big plays, UM is in trouble, but Roche and Phillips can go a long way toward negating that. So those are the matchups I'm looking for in this game.
Berg, we appreciate the time, man. Enjoy
Thanks,
the weekend.
Berg.
All right, fellas, I'll talk to you.
All right.
It's Chris Perkins. We roll on. We get back into game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. Leroy said that he thought that Eric Spoelstra completely outclassed out coach Brad Stevens.
I did.
We talked to a great coach, the great Ron Rothstein.
Stop the tape.
He's next.
15 minutes.
Bam, bam. 15 minutes of heat here for you on 790 The Ticket. Leroy, it is 2-0 for your Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. Another comeback win for the Heat. Matched a playoff record for them. Last time they had a 17-point comeback, Leroy. 2012 Finals, Game 4 against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, right.
Mario Mother Bleepin' Chalmers. Remember the call from Mike Inglis? He was like a water bug going through there.
The cramp game.
The cramp game. The cramp three from LeBron. Awesome game. So we will go out now to talk a little Heat with the best thing on television right now, man. He is the best. He is my favorite basketball analyst. We go to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line shop. We're 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sharon. The inaugural head coach of the Miami Heat, Ron Rothstein, joins us there. Coach, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Doing fantastic. And just to let everybody know that you can check out Ron Rothstein, the whole crew. They are going to be doing pregames on Saturday, heat.com, 7:30 to 8:30, leading you up until tip-off. And then postgame, they will be back live on Fox Sports Florida after the game for your postgame coverage there. So, Coach, biggest takeaway yesterday, another comeback win for the Heat. They keep getting into these big deficits, but they keep finding a way out of it. I'm sure that's got to be a heart attack as a head coach. But what have you made of how the Heat have gotten this 2-0 lead?
The more I watch this team, the more I marvel at their mental stability and their trust in each other. I really do. And in their coaching staff. You don't do things like this if, you know, there's turmoil within and guys are picking at each other and there's no trust. But when you see a team constantly come back like this, there's great belief inside that locker room and in that huddle, and everybody's buying in. And I have to say, from everything I know, this has all started with Jimmy Butler. He is, from day one, it's been all about winning. Now, look, everybody's contributed. You don't do things like this without, great team play, great contributions from multiple people. But the basis of this culture, the buy-in by Jimmy Butler, has just trickled down right through that roster. And if you talk to anybody inside that organization about Jimmy, he's all about winning. That's all it is. That's hard to find today.
What do you think about the way he goes about it, Ron, where he doesn't really care about how many points he scores. He's, focusing on the defensive plays that he goes and gets it. Can you, I guess, just the little things that you see him do to get people involved, to find those ways to win when he's not having one of those, crazy performances where he's putting up 40 and, getting to the line a bunch of times, like the makeup of getting them to that win?
He's unique. He really is. I've tried to think, I've seen a few basketball games in my years. I've coached a few. I've been with a few players. This guy is really unique. I the only guy that comes to mind in this regard, the way he goes about it, believe it or not, and I'm probably missing a few, with his doesn't care if he scores, just wants to do things for the team. He's selfless to a fault almost. It's team first. A lot of guys talk about team first, but reality, it's them first.
As long as they get theirs.
Thank you. Yeah. A lot of guys want to win on their terms, not on our terms.
Right.
Okay? So the only guy that comes to mind in this regard, and I'll go back to the original Bad Boys, was Bill Laimbeer. He didn't care about anything except screwing up your mind, taking your head off, and winning games. But Jimmy does it in a different way. It is so unique, and you can't teach that. That's from within the human being. And, you know, they talk about skill level. Well, that kind of uniqueness is a raw talent. That's a skill also, which is very, very hard to find. And I really don't think I'm overstating it. I really don't.
Ron, I think a lot of people, you know, and they talk about it constantly with the Heat, about just making winning plays and not worrying about numbers. And anytime there's been a guy on the Heat roster that has worried about his numbers, that guy never fit in. But my question is this. When was the last time you've seen a Heat organization, whether it's Pat Riley, whether it's you yourself, have to depend this much on this number of young guys and it work out?
Never. This is also the most amazing thing to me. No, it is. It's just, listen, when you look at Tyler drafted 13th, you look at Bam drafted 13th, you look at Duncan Robinson undrafted, you look at Kendrick Nunn undrafted, it's also pretty much unprecedented. You know, I've seen teams become good with high draft picks. And, you know, eventually, like when we beat Oklahoma City in 2012 in the finals, they had a championship roster. They were just too young, okay? And they didn't have any veterans to lean on. So we have like probably the perfect blend, because you've got the young kids that do really amazing things. But when it comes down, you know, to clutch time, there's Goran, there's Jimmy, and then there's Bam, who's a young veteran. But it you're right, Leroy. It is absolutely unique. I mean, my first year, we had 6 rookies. You saw what happened. but probably half of that was my fault anyhow. But and the other thing is, I made mention of this a few weeks back. You look at our roster, we have one top 10 draft pick on the whole roster, and that's Andre Iguodala, who's 36 years old and was drafted number 9. That's also, you look at the rosters in the playoffs and the teams that are getting, keep moving on, that's unprecedented. You don't see that. Doesn't happen.
Ron, does this remind you of that Pistons team with Larry Brown that won the championship against the Lakers?
No, this team is different. This team, to me, I'll say this much. It does remind me of them a little bit because of the defensive efficiency in the fourth quarter. Our defensive fourth quarter numbers in the playoffs have been absolutely sensational. I mean, if you got those numbers every quarter, it would be the number one defense in the NBA, almost by far. But that's pretty hard to sustain over 4 quarters. That's the reality of the situation. It also reminds me a little bit of the Bad Boys, because that was a fourth quarter. That was a team that would spar with teams for 3 quarters and then put the clamps on in the fourth quarter, spurt 10 to 12 points, game over. Great teams finish well. They really do. And for the rest of the game, the interesting thing is Milwaukee, Boston, they've had double-digit leads on us. Some is – I think the largest was 17, but it never got to like 25, if you know what I'm saying. No one ever let go of the rope. So the leads were always somewhat manageable. And especially today with the 3-ball, I mean, you're down 15 three threes and you know, from Duncan Robinson, all of a sudden a six-point game. Wait a second. Now that team that has a 15-point lead, you know, things are tightening up a little bit. They're starting to feel the pressure. And you cannot discount that. That is huge.
Do you think it's when we hear reports after the game that Marcus Smart is screaming at his teammates, throwing things in the locker room, they blow a lead, they're upset. Do you think that's a big deal, number one, and number two, as the Heat, when they inevitably will hear that, do you think, yeah, we feel like we got in their head a little bit, that we're breaking them a little bit, or it'll probably all be erased by game three?
Listen, sometimes teams need that catharsis. Sometimes, look, I was in a lot of locker rooms with Udonis Haslam after the game. You want to talk about guy going off. And because, listen, Leroy, you guys know this, okay? Coaches can only do so much. Peer pressure, you hear it from a teammate, you hear it from someone you care about and you know is honest and from the heart. Sometimes that's a message a coach can't deliver. Maybe that's what the Celtics need. You don't know. You never know. Because you never know what's going on in that other locker room. Good, bad, or indifferent. Everybody's got drama. You even got drama when you're winning. There's always somebody harboring, I didn't play. It's there. It's human nature.
Yeah, look at Denver and Michael Porter.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and the other thing is players will say things after a game. Coaches will say things after a game, you know, in the heat of the moment. And then you stop and you think about it and you go, why did I say that? Or sometimes it just had to be said. So game three's coming up. It'll be another game. But when you keep losing big leads and lose tough games down the stretch, it does have a way of playing with your mind. It really does. And it can be an almost debilitating factor going down the stretch. Uh-oh, I got to take this shot. And if there's the slightest bit of doubt and the slightest bit of hesitation, that's all you need at this level because the margin of error is really, really, really small.
We're talking to Ron Rossi, and you guys can see Ron tomorrow, Heat.com. They are doing a pregame show 7:30 to 8:30, and then the postgame, they're going to be live on Fox Sports 5. Before we get you out of here, Ron, one more for you. Just your impressions of how Goran Dragic is getting a shine on this stage. You know, he's been with the Heat for a while now. He's making clutch baskets yesterday. He's been just such an offensive catalyst for Miami. What have been your impressions of Goran getting a chance to do this under the bright lights?
Well, I want to go back to the regular season. I want to go back to before the season started when Spo called Goran in. They sat down, they talked, and Spo hit him with, I want you to be sixth man of the year. I want you to come off to the bench. And the reason was, he's 34 years old, coming off knee surgery the year before. I think at the end of last year, he got tired after he came back from knee surgery. And you can tell when Goran, he just didn't have any bounce to his game, and like almost every shot hit the front rim. And when you're constantly front-rimming shots, it's your legs. And Spo didn't trust himself to play him as a starter and be able to limit his minutes. But as a sub, that would help him limit his minutes. And he wanted to do that to keep him as fresh as possible, and he felt it would be the best thing for Goran and the best for the team. And Goran bought into it. He's such a good guy. I mean, look, we all have egos. Everybody's got an ego. But Goran is such a good person. And he saw the wisdom in it, and he bought into it. And then when it came playoff time, one more now, he was ready and spoke. He knew he had to make that change. So now you're seeing a revitalized Goran Dragic. I think the fact that, you know, there's no travel in between games has really helped a lot of guys. I think he's one of them. And he's got his legs, and listen, he's a really good player. He hasn't been an all-star for nothing. And I think he's wearing the mantle of the, you know, the veteran that they can rely on me when they need me. The other thing is, it's really feeding into this whole narrative, is our pick-and-roll game. And ridiculously absurd pick-and-roll coverage that is rampant in the NBA today thank God we don't do it anymore, that allows the point guard to come off the screen and go downhill and pretty much do whatever he wants. Boston, Milwaukee didn't have an answer for it. Boston doesn't have an answer for it unless they change their coverage or they, I don't know if you noticed, but during the early in the fourth quarter last night, they went small. They put Grant Williams at center so they could switch everything. So, and they flattened this out, and the seven-point lead went to from an up seven to minus two in like 5 minutes. And then he substituted again and brought the big guy back in. And as soon as the big guy's in there, Spo's calling pick and roll, pick and roll, pick and roll, pick and roll. You don't have to. Right. You don't have to be tricky. Just, you know, when you're running a football and they can't stop you, pound it. And man, that's what we're seeing. And it's, to me, it's almost mind boggling, but that's the reality of the situation. And Gorin is just absolutely tearing it up.
We appreciate the time, Ron. Thank you so much. Catch Ron tomorrow. Heat.com, 7:30 to 8:30. They have a pregame show. And then at the postgame, they will be live on Fox Sports Florida. We really appreciate the time. Always love your insight.
Hey, great to be with you. You guys stay safe. Be well.
Thanks. You too.
Oh, love that guy, Leroy. I feel wiser. I feel basketball and life wiser. I love it so much.
Dude, that explanation of the pick and roll defense, my God. That was amazing.
My God. Amazing.
I mean, do you need to have, like, it's easy to say what you want to do against the pick and roll, but you also have to have the people to do it.
Yep.
And one of the things that, you know, they have to deal with is they have three big men. They all do something different. Mm-hmm. And you need them all at different moments of the game. And what ends up happening is whenever you bring one in, Spo figures out, okay, this is what works against this guy, and they adjust their offense, and now you're stuck because you're always up against it.
Well, man. Thanks again to Ron Rothstein. We'll close things out. Big weekend coming up for the Fish as well as a huge sports weekend here in South Florida. Ooh. Your starting shortstop of the Miami Marlins. It's a Noche de Sixto, Miguel Rojas. We'll talk a little bit with him. He loves the Heat as well, so we'll talk a little playoffs with Miggy Rowe as he's having an awesome season. So we talked to Miguel Rojas to close it out. Send us into the weekend. You guys have your pants off until tomorrow's game, game three, and we will be back with Miggy Rowe after this. Very excited to talk to our next guest. He is the starting shortstop for your Miami Marlins, Miguel Rojas. Hit a little bump in the road this week with losing 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox, but they got a big series coming up with the Nationals. They're in the midst of the hunt, and this is a big deal. This is the guy who foresaw it all. And when I spoke to you in spring training, Miguel, you know, you had envisioned wanting your team to be a winning team, you know, to be a team that would be in the midst of a race. I know you couldn't have ever imagined that the season would have played out the way that it has, but end result, you guys are here. You are in the midst of it. So how happy are you that it is kind of come to fruition? You guys are where you thought you could be.
Yeah, really excited, man. It's been an up and down year. It's been a roller coaster of emotions for the whole club, not just for the players, but the organization as a whole. But really happy to be in this position right now. To be honest with you, like a lot of people didn't put us in this position to be competing. We are happy to be in this position, but we are looking to do some more.
I want to get to some of your teammates who have been fantastic, because I know the leader that you are, you always like putting on other guys, but you've been amazing, man. Like, it's been, I know that you've prided yourself that you want to be the complete shortstop, that, you know, you want to provide everything for your team, and you've been doing that. I don't want to say surprised. I don't feel like athletes are ever surprised by it, but I guess what's the satisfaction like seeing the hard work that you've put in pay off on the plate? Obviously, you know, you've always been a guy who can lay the leather, but I mean, you continue to produce, man. This isn't, you know, nobody can say that you're a fluke at the plate or anything like that. You just continue to provide big hit after big hit.
Yeah. For me personally, I feel like I'm just focusing on helping the team win. So I'm hitting in the bottom of the order right now. I'm getting a lot of bats that counts, you know, like I'm getting a lot of like opportunity with running, scoring positions, and I have to credit my teammates, you know, they're getting there for me. They're working the at-bats. They're doing their job to be on base for me. And I've been producing, and I've been getting a lot of, like, big hits with two outs and stuff like that. So it's just a mental focus that you need to have when you're hitting in the bottom of the order, that you know that you're not going to be, like, an easy out down there. You know, like, you want your lineup to be deep. And that's one of the difference between this year and the past. Sometimes in the past, I have to hit in the top of the order, and it was hard for Andy to get good pitches to hit too, because we kind of lonely by ourselves there in the middle of the lineup, and it was kind of tough. But at this moment, this lineup is pretty deep, and it makes me feel better. It makes everybody around me feels better. So I think I contribute to the hard work, and I contribute to the deep of this lineup. The success I have so far.
You've been an outstanding model for this franchise. You got nominated for the Roberto Clemente Award for the team. What did that mean to you?
It means a lot, because it's not what you just can do on the field. It's what you can do off the field as well, as a person. I always say something that I'd rather be a good person first before I can be a good ball player. So because my personal career is going to continue to go after my baseball career is over. So I'm so proud of represent not just the organization, but the whole community in South Florida, here in Miami, the 305, and my country, Venezuela, and all the people that I really represent. So I know a lot of people are happy for me, but I can't really tell you with words how proud and happy I am of becoming that.
You've been killing it too, man. Like, I see your broadcasting now. You got your show, The Clubhouse. How much have you enjoyed that? Like, I saw you do some of that stuff with the All-Star game last year, but is that something that you want to, you know, down the road? I know big focus on baseball right now, but is that, like, where did that come from? Like, you wanted to dabble into that, and when did you think, yeah, I'm kind of good with this. I'm good behind the mic. I kind of vibe with people. When did you get a feeling for that?
So, yeah, I got a couple opportunities to be on TV last year. I did it for Fox for a little bit in the playoff, getting some insight from a baseball player. I really liked doing that. Then I did the Super Bowl edition for the Marlins, and I was around people, and I kind of felt comfortable doing it. And now this year, when we was quarantining after the first spring training, when everything got shut down, I got this idea of bringing content to the fans, because I feel like we've been working so hard to bring fans to this organization, to bring fans to the ballpark, and now we knew that this year we weren't going to have fans on the stands. So for me, it was really important to keep connecting with them, because I know we have a lot of people here in Miami that they support us, and I want to continue to bring some content and some quality stuff that you can just have in the clubhouse. So that's the idea of the clubhouse, bringing a conversation with my teammates that I can have in the clubhouse, and the fans can have it too, you know, like that's what the initial idea. And I'm really happy that the Marlins came through and helped me do that kind of stuff.
Is there a favorite thing that you got out of Sixto Sanchez in your recent interview?
Yeah, his goals, man. When he talk about his goals, I got goosebumps, because this guy wants to be the best, you know? Like, he wants to win. He wants to win 20 games, which is always what you want, you know? You want a guy who's out there not worrying about his numbers. He wants to win games. So he said it. He wants to win 20 games, and he wants to win the World Series. So that's all you need from a guy that he's probably going to be your ace at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think I heard him on the Marlins post game the other day, where he said he's like, they're not scared of anything. He's like, big cojones. He's just not shook at all. And that's got to be pretty crazy for him, because I saw the thing that Pedro Martinez said, where he says, like, he's got better stuff than me. Like, that's got to be a crazy thing to hear as a young player. Is there somebody, like, when you're growing up, if they said something like that about you, like, or just any words of encouragement, have you ever gotten words of encouragement from, like, a baseball idol that you were just like, whoa, that has to hit home and mean a ton?
Yeah, I had a lot of that, and I called that God send you an angel, because sometimes in baseball, you doubt yourself a lot. You don't know if you're going to accomplish the things that you want. At some point, you just don't know where your goals are, because you are, like, just in the middle of the nowhere, in the limbo, in the minor leagues. And you have nothing to really believe on, you know, like you want that goal, and accomplish a goal, but you don't know. And I remember when I got to the Dodgers organization, Donnie was my manager. So 2 days or 3 days into Big League camp, I remember Donnie saying something to the media that he, like when he watched me take ground balls, he reminds of Omar Vizquel. So Omar Vizquel was my idol growing up, you know, and I had the opportunity to read some quotes from Vizquel too after he watched me taking grounders and playing the game. And that kind of stuff made me feel like, hey, I belong, you know, like these guys already noticed what I can do. And I really appreciate that because that gives you the boost of energy and confidence that you need to overcome whatever you are dealing with.
I remember when we spoke in spring training that you said you took some inspiration from Udonis Haslem, that you wanted to be a leader like that. This is a really cool time in Miami sports because we got you guys kicking ass, the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. Are you paying attention at all? I know you guys rocked the jerseys the other day. Lewis Brinson told me he was fired up about it. Have you been, after the games are over, you sneaking and watching any highlights or anything like that, or have you gotten to call any of the playoff action?
100%, man. Supporting the Heat. I'm a big basketball fan. And UD and I think we share this strong feeling for this community. I know he grew up here. I didn't grow up here, but this community helped me when I got here in 2015, and I this is my second home, you know, away from Venezuela. So I feel like supporting the Heat is not just because it's the other team in here in Miami, but it's because I really like what they're doing. They're playing as a family. They're playing like really good basketball, and it shows that it's not the most talented maybe team that is gonna accomplish the things that you want. Is who plays like a family. So I really, really enjoy what UD has been doing his whole career here in Miami, and hopefully I can do the same.
Thank you for giving us some time, man, and all the best the rest of the way.
Yeah, of course, man. We haven't done nothing yet, so we are working towards that goal of being a sustainable winner. So that's what we want to do here, and we know we have to we have some ways to go. But thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.